The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, a very special guest this week on the bookshelf. It's the brilliant author, Liz Nugent. Liz, thanks so much for coming into us. Really
thank you for having me.
Before we actually get to the books you've chosen for your bookshelf, we should start by chatting about your latest book, The Truth About Ruby Cooper. And actually, somebody else has immediately texted in to say, please tell Liz, Strange Sally Diamond is a great story, thoroughly enjoyable. But tell us the truth about Ruby Cooper.
Oh, I can't tell you the truth because that would be a massive spoiler. But yeah, the book is about two sisters who are growing up in Boston. And when Ruby is 16, she accuses her older sister's boyfriend of sexually assaulting her, of raping her. And the evidence is overwhelming. There's DNA. The evidence is absolutely overwhelming. And he goes to prison for 13 years. And the fallout from that incident is how it shapes their lives ever after. Ruby moves back to Dublin with her mother, where her mother is from, and Erin stays in Boston with her father, but forever after has these terrible trust issues that she, because she loved this guy so much. You know, it wasn't just like a teenage romance for her. They had talked about getting married. They had planned a future. They had names for their future children. And she had trusted him so much. And she just couldn't believe that he could do this to her sister. And for Ruby, it's a different story because she's very complicated child, really. And she subsequently gets into addiction and alcoholism and rehab and has a baby very young, father unknown, you know. So there's a lot of meat in the story.
Sounds like it.
There's a lot of meat in all your stories, might I say, as someone who's read, I think, all of your books. I never know what, if any, genre you're in. You know, when people talk about you as a thriller or this or that, I've heard people describe you different ways. But I just read your books and feel I'm getting a fascinating insight into the human psyche.
Yeah, I think somebody said on some podcast that it's more like a character study than...
They're dark.
But they're dark.
They are, yeah. And I like that. But
I'm very interested in the psychology of what makes people tick. And with this one, the rape incident, I think it was a particular aspect of that story that has never been told before. And I just took a different look at it from a different point of view, from a very, very unusual point of view, I have to, you know.
I haven't read it yet, and I certainly will, but you reminded me a little bit of Atonement. I don't know if your story...
Spot on, in parallel
with Atonement, another phenomenal book.
Well, I suppose speaking of that genre and how people act and maybe darkness as well, your choice for your favourite book of all comes from that kind of...
Well, now I have 25 favourite books of all time, so I pick a different one every time I'm asked.
Fair enough.
But today, it's The Butcher Boy by Pat McCabe.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's about... a child psychopath, basically. And it's the voice. It's the voice of the child as he's telling you the story. Actually, it starts off with him as an adult, but he relates the story in this childlike way. And the murder is so gruesome. And actually, the murder victim is called Mrs. Nugent, which I loved. But the murder is so gruesome. The story is so hilarious, so traumatic. So the child is so damaged. His mother is taken off to the garage, as he refers it, to get repaired when she has a breakdown. So she's gone off to the garage in Seton Monaghan, where Pat McCabe is from. And I just loved every... I read it in one go, sitting in my boyfriend at the time at in his house, and we were supposed to go to a party that night, and I said, no, I'm just going to stay home and read. So he went to the party by himself.
That was the end of that boyfriend.
That was yeah, anybody who doesn't respect my reading time, you know. Yeah, we didn't last much longer.
But what a fantastic reflection on any book. And I know the books that you just get drawn into, and you don't want the books that you don't want to end because you don't want to disconnect from the characters, you don't want the story to be over. And to have those moments in any book, I think, the one where you say, no, you go on, I'll stay home. Yeah. That's quite special.
It absolutely sucked me in. I read it, I'd say, in about 8 hours, you know.
Can I make an admission here?
Yeah.
And I know it's heresy, and I know it's a great book, and I know loads of people love it. I read it and didn't like it.
What is wrong with you? Yeah.
I ask him that all the time, Liz.
I don't know if it was too dark or so. I think it was. I think the darkness in it kind of made me uncomfortable.
Did you not find it funny?
I found it wonderful in that I didn't. I found the violence and or all that was cartoonish in my mind.
I didn't
dwell on it or overthink it, and I found it kind of madcap.
Yeah,
this kind of frenetic energy. I found it quite beguiling in many ways, but I didn't. Like, other people said to me, "Is that not a bit sick?" That you and I was like, I didn't take that bit of it seriously. I just thought it was this kind of madcap story. There was violence. There was obviously all of that, and.
But the violence isn't graphic. Like, you don't find out what he's done to her until the end. Like, it doesn't go into any description. You find out afterwards what he has done to Mrs.
Nugent. I think
there's
brilliant storytelling in it.
Oh, absolutely superb. And the kind of nicknames he has for the priest who he calls Bubble because he's a bubble-shaped head. Yeah. Stuff like that, you know. It's just...
The inner work, I enjoyed the inner workings of his head. I'm quite dark as well.
Maybe you both are.
maybe you're just a wimp.
Yeah, maybe. Rose has got in touch to say, I've never hated a female character more than Ruby, but I loved the book. I love Liz's books.
Yeah, I'm getting that a lot. People loved Sally, but people hate Ruby, but they love the book just as much.
By the way, when you're writing that, do you know that's going to be the case? Was that deliberate on your part, or is that just the...
No, I make it up as I go along. So I don't know what the character is going to do until I get to a certain point. And then I always get to a point where I'd say, what's the best thing she could do? What's the worst thing she could do? And I go for the worst thing. Because that's when good characters make bad decisions, that's where you get your drama. And that's the mantra I live by.
Let's get to the last book that you read, Ardal O'Hanlon.
It's the one I'm in the middle of because Ardal and I are doing an event together at the Hay Festival in Wales at the end of this month. So I'm reading it in preparation from that, and it's hilarious. It's an absolute hoot. It's about a town, small, well, it's actually a sizable town.
This is called A Plot to Die For.
Yeah, A Plot to Die For by Ardal O'Hanlon. A small town called Abbeyford. And he's come home.
Fictional town.
A fictional town. But I think it's kind of, it's in the southeast. I think it's kind of Kilkenny-sized town.
There's a mention of the Barrow or something, isn't it? The River Barrow.
Several mentions of the Barrow. And, you know, there's a couple of things that make me think maybe it's Carlow or maybe it's, you know, a sizable town anyway. Yeah. And we're getting to meet all of the characters in the town and their seed and breed. You know, we find out who their father was and who their mother was and what their background is. And it's supposedly around this Tidy Towns Committee. Now, I'm on page 152 and we've only just got down to the first Tidy Towns Committee because a murder has already occurred.
At choir practice.
Yes,
it already.
And the main character in this is a celebrity gardener who's been on the BBC and he's come back to his hometown to look after his elderly mother and was at this choir practice where he was virtually told you can't sing, you cannot be in this choir. And he's quite offended by that. But then another character drops dead. So everybody who was there, they reckon he was poisoned by the cup of tea he had. Everybody who was there was a suspect.
I do love a whodunit.
Yeah.
I also like the small towns, you know, like the Midsummer Murders or those. Yeah. I quite like those small towns that it should all be, you know.
I heard it described lovely. As Richard Osman meets Ballykissangel.
Well, I haven't read Richard Osman, but Yeah, I'd say there's a bit more, but mind you, there's kind of poignant.
I like the sound of this more than I tried the Richard Osman books. Didn't do it for me.
I quite like Richard Osman.
Well, apparently, I've heard they're fantastic. My mum, like when I had Ruby, when I had Sally Diamond done, I gave mum the first edition of Sally Diamond, and at the same time, I gave her the Richard Osman, and she read the Richard Osman first.
That's families for you. That's absolutely families for you.
But sorry, to get back to this book, there's a poignancy about it as well. There's a minor mention of one character who, Aoife, who's a local school teacher, and she's just talking about or remembering her father fondly, and she says he grew up in a mother and baby home, that's where he was born, and she said that every night if she got up in the middle of the night to go downstairs for any reason, he'd be up.
Oh, okay.
And that was just, it's just very a very
powerful but yet understated.
Yeah, really understated. We know, I don't think we're going to meet him again or hear anything more about him, but it's just a very
okay. Yeah,
and it's a lovely way to tell the story.
I've heard it's hilariously funny as well.
Oh, so funny. Yeah, lastly, you have an honourable mention for a book that's coming out.
Yeah, there's a bit of a recurring theme with all your books here. Murder being the recurring theme.
Well, yeah. Well, now this book, this next one I'm going to talk about is needs no further fanfare because it's the latest book by Andrea Mara called Such a Nice Girl. And it's about two women who are best friends, very wealthy. They're at a wedding, and the wedding is somewhere in Fox Rock. It's notionally Fox. I can't remember the name of the suburb in the book, but it's, we all know it's Fox Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
And so their two daughters are best friends, and the two daughters are staying out in the pool house because this house is a swimming pool. And they girls are staying out in the pool house, and they wake up in the morning and the girls are vanished, and there's a phone call, and suddenly you realise that one of the girls has murdered the other girl. So the question is for the two women, is my daughter the murdered or is my daughter the murderer?
And at this point in the book they don't know.
They don't know.
Good Lord.
And you spend the whole book finding out. So
I think I might have to read this.
Yeah.
Liz.
It's really, it's like there's nobody who does hooks like Andrea Mara, and she's going to be number one next week.
Perhaps nobody other than Liz Nugent. But anyway, thank you so much for coming in. It's been an absolute pleasure, and all fantastic book recommendations this week too. We've been delighted to have you in.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.